Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Terrence Talks Travel Uber Adventures. I'm your host, Terrence Epke. We have a lot to talk about today, so I'm just going to jump right in and announce today's guest. I'm going to be interviewing world traveler Kristen Henning and her husband, Tom. Hi, Kristen and Tom.
Hello, Terrence.
Hello.
Hey. Thanks for joining us here today. Now, this show is all about adventure travel, and I think nothing is more adventurous than becoming traveling nomads here, like you guys have done. So I'm going to tell everybody, I began following you guys on at Travel Past 50, and I was so fascinated by your Twitter profile that I got this brilliant idea to have you on my show. And I think other Wanderlusters are going to be...
I said, yes, it was a brilliant idea.
And so I think everyone's going to be as curious as I am to hear all about your travels, but I want to tell everybody before we jump in, tell everybody how many countries that you all have visited.
55 so far.
Okay.
And
okay, now I understand. Yeah, I understand y'all been traveling since 1975, but you really kicked it in gear in 2010.
Correct.
And so, yeah, TripIt says you've traveled 149,000 miles in the last 2 years. Wow. So tell us here, what happened to prompt all this travel, this change of your lifestyle?
Well, I'm sorry, we're just... making sure our Skype account has got more credit to it. So what started us on our travels is that we realized we were about to retire and we didn't have to be responsible for our children. And are you still there?
Yes, yes.
Okay, I'm sorry that we were just having a connectivity problem. So I'm sorry to be distracted. We didn't have any dependents anymore, so we thought we'd be totally selfish and sell our home and hit the road.
So what do you think is the best thing about nomadic life?
I think a sense of freedom. I mean, we sold our house, we sold most of everything that we own, and, you know, we still have one storage unit, but a very small one that, you know, we kept some of our stuff that we liked, that we didn't want to get rid of. But for the most part, we live out of two suitcases and a camera bag each. So it's
I didn't mean to cut you off.
Two
suitcases and a camera bag. Okay. Well, I think a lot of people would think, I can't do that. I've got all my stuff. I love my stuff. I can't part with my stuff. But do you all really have anything that you miss on a regular basis here? I mean.
I used to build furniture as a hobby, and there are times when I miss my wood shop. And I think Chris has said more than once that she misses her kitchen. But other than that, I mean, it's just stuff. And
yeah, right.
That's one of the hardest things to get past for a lot of people is that it's just stuff. And I think that you have to make that decision if you're going to do what we did. There's a certain freedom as I cut down my own pile of stuff that I carry. I keep making it smaller. I'm down to about 2 shirts, 4 t-shirts, 6 pairs of underwear, 6 pairs of socks, and 2 pairs of shoes, and way too many cameras. But other than that,
best part is that free feeling. And on our what we call our travel days, which are the days which we're specifically going from point A to point B by train or air or whatever, we have everything in hand that we need. And you don't your mind is not cluttered by your stuff.
Well, let me ask you all, because, you know, you're older now. The point of this is travel past 50. So things are probably a bit different from your younger days. I know for me, when I used to do a lot of travel, when we'd sleep on the trains to save money on the hotels, and we would backpack and we would stay in hostels, and a lot of
yeah.
things we used to do, I'm not as interested in doing now. and, you know, it changes as you get a little older. So I'm just wondering, with you all, your travel, I'm assuming things are quite a bit different in, like, where you stay and how you travel and all now, as opposed to your younger days, if you forgive me saying.
Right. No, exactly. And except for in Japan, where it can often be the norm in the guest houses, I would say the main difference is that we want a bathroom in our hotel or hostel room. And, you know, we can do that. We don't have to have a bunk room with a common bathroom.
Yeah. We walked the Camino de Santiago in Spain 4 years ago almost. And part of the experience of doing that is sleeping in dorm rooms with up to sometimes 30 or 40 other people. And usually about half of them snore. And so being able to avoid that is, I think, one of the privileges of being older. So, but we don't stay in luxury hotels by any stretch. I mean, we're definitely price conscious. And as long as the place has a bed and a bathroom, we're usually okay.
Yeah.
We're more interested in location. Are we two bits of location that we always look for is, number one, is it close to the train station? Because we're normally traveling by train. Or two, is it close to stuff that we want to see? And the ideal, obviously, is both. But like I said, we don't, you know, we're not really luxury travelers by any sense.
One of the things about traveling full time is you gain a certain amount of flexibility and lacking a, you know, you don't, if we get to a hotel that we just decide is a flea bag kind of place that we can't stand, we can move, you know, so what? It's
right.
Not like our trip is so fixed that we can't make adjustments. So we try not to spend way too much time finding accommodations that are just going to be perfect. If they're not perfect, move on.
Right. Okay, so I'm going to poke around here a bit. I'm hoping that you don't mind, but I know everybody out there is interested to find out what it's like to be traveling full-time with your spouse or partner, because traveling is wonderful. I'll be the first to admit it, but it also, there's times when it can be stressful, and it can take a bit of a toll on a relationship, I think. So how have you all dealt with that? How have you found that to be?
Pillow fight.
So you take it in stride pretty well. Y'all work together pretty well with...
Well, we worked together in our business for 30-some years, and so we got used to being in close proximity at all times. And certainly there are times when we part ways, either for one day or sometimes for a week. And we don't do that so much when we're traveling, but right now we happen to be on a bit of hiatus in the United States. But I'm going to Las Vegas next week, and Chris is going to Washington State. So it's not like we always have to be together. And I think those breaks are an essential part of being together all the time. And sometimes you just, it's good to be apart, too.
I do know what you mean, though, Terrence. And I have a lot of really close friends that I know could never travel the way we're traveling, because they, as a couple, don't tolerate each other in that quantity. And
right,
you know, I gotta
right.
say that when we were in business together, we had separate offices, we had separate people reporting to us, and even though our employees, you know, tried to ma and pop us, and as children do, we had sort of a separate roles in the company. Traveling together, you're together. You're in one room. You're in close proximity all the time. And so how we deal with that, because we're both somewhat introverted, we have quiet times. You know, if somebody wants to read or write or stare at the ceiling and they don't want to engage in a conversation, that's fine. Both people have to be willing to have a conversation at the same time.
So you just kind of, you all can just kind of tell when you need your time and you respect each other. And okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, tell me here, what's your favorite place that you've been to? You all, it might be different for both of you, but.
Well, the place we keep going back to, and that we actually have probably spent at least 3 years total, is Spain. And I'm not sure I can exactly put my finger on one thing about Spain. It's so many things. It's a fascinating culture. It's very happy people. The food is fantastic. The history, the art, all of that goes into probably making Spain our favorite place. And in fact, we're going back to Spain in 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's hard because a lot of times our favorite place is the place we've just been or we're just about to go to. And when we're asked this question, we often are confused as whether we should answer it as where could we live, where could we just be permanently versus what has intrigued us lately or what do we want to see. I mean, we just came from Jordan and Egypt. I can't say that I'm driven to move to either of those places, but wow, I loved the deserts in Jordan, the Nile River in Egypt. It was, I felt so lucky to be there.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah,
also,
great.
The other place I would mention that I was absolutely fascinated by and definitely would go back in a heartbeat is Japan. I just found Japan. Yes, Japan is just an amazing place and characterized by the people's just constant effort to create beauty. The gardens, the buildings, the food, you name it, they just have this innate aesthetic sense that just draws you in and leaves you with your mouth open sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your least favorite place? What do you have a least favorite place, someplace you would never go back to?
Well, there was this hotel in Aswan, Egypt.
There's a hotel.
You mentioned Fleabag. It was.
Yeah, it really was. It was a bad hotel.
A destination.
We spent 9 months in Quito, Ecuador, and have very good friends there. We will go back there, but we wouldn't live there. Just because of crime and corruption, primarily. It's a beautiful, beautiful country, and I love the people there, but it's not an environment we want to be in. And, you know, both on the best and worst places, I would say a lot of it is how healthy we feel and how well we can eat when we're in these places. We love the Mediterranean diet. The Japanese diet was great. Ecuador, food is not its draw.
No.
And it makes a difference in how you feel and how active you are when you're visiting.
So now when you travel, do you do touristy things or are you trying to experience it more like locals?
Well, I would say a little of both. I mean, we're, you know, both the products of a liberal arts education. So we're interested in art and literature and history. And so we certainly go to the museums and the cathedrals and
historic sites.
One of the things we like to tick off is the UNESCO World Heritage Sites. We've been to probably close to 200 of those sites now. And
Wow. So
I guess you could say that that's touristy in a way, but at the same time, we like to pick up a little bit of the language if we can. I mean, we both speak Spanish fluently, and I can sort of get by in French and Italian as well. But the way you get to talk to people is, you know, go out of your way to, you know, maybe staying in Airbnb places, I think, is a really good way to do that, because that gives you usually contact with one good local. And they can tell you where the markets are, where the local people eat at the restaurants, where the local people shop. And that gets you out of the touristy areas and gets you into a connection with more people.
Yeah.
And that's right. The fun in traveling is getting to talk to people about how they live and what they love about their own city. And it could be, go ahead.
I was going to find out, before we run out of time here today, what's still on your bucket list? What do you all really want to do next, or before you're done traveling?
Oh, there's so much, and the list keeps getting longer. I was looking at your profile and seeing that you've covered a lot of Africa, which we have not done yet. We want to go back to South America. We want to go to Cuba. We have really only touched on Southeast Asia. And we'll always go back to Europe. We haven't been to Russia yet either. So I don't know. It's a long list.
I mean, the big three, I think, of Russia, India, and China, we have not been to. So I think all three of those. And as Chris said, I think we still have a lot of Latin America to see. I'm particularly interested in spending some time in Buenos Aires. And we actually did live in Chile for several months, but I don't feel like I saw it all. Chile is one of our favorite places as well. I think we would both go back there in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's funny because, people talk to me and they're like, well, what's left to do? You've done everything, you know, what would be left to see and do? And I'm like, are you kidding me? The more you get out there and do, the more you realize that you haven't done. And like you, I've got a long list of places. I mean, I've done a lot of traveling, but there's still so much.
Places,
you know, a lot of, And I just want to make sure before we run out of time, I want you to tell listeners what lies ahead. What's your next adventure? What are your plans for the future here?
Well, a couple things. We're actually we're going to Spain, as I said, in a couple of weeks, and then we're taking a kind of a wine and history cruise through southern France, the Rhone, and then from there we're going to take a train all the way to the top of Scandinavia. We're going all the way above the Arctic Circle in Norway.
Yeah, this is our second extended use of EuRail passes, which is a great partnership. And EuRail it's all across Europe, so you don't have to make any decisions until you got the pass in hand where you're going to go.
We really do prefer train travel, especially in Europe, because it's so fast and it's so good. And you go from the center of the city to the center of the city, which is hard to beat.
One quick thing I want to interject here, too, about traveling as a local and also budget and accommodations, that we've had several spells where we've done house sitting, and that helps us get to know a place. It might be a small town or a village, and have some animals, which we miss having. And, so that helps us feel like a part of a small town, and also helps our budget and gives us a break from all the constant moving around. So
how do you find out about house sitting? I know there's house swapping organizations, but with this house sitting, how do you get involved in that?
There are several websites. We subscribe or are members in a couple of them. TrustedHouseSitters.com is the first one we use.
Mind My Home is another one. And so you can just Google house sitting and find some places like that. Generally, the house sitter pays an annual fee to be listed there, and the homeowner, I don't even know if they pay. Yeah, they, maybe they pay too. But so that's not a, because we don't have a house to swap.
Right.
So it's a good break for us to do something like that.
Well, before we close today, I know that, you know, a lot of people are thinking, I would love to do this, but they still have this fear. I can't quit my job, or I can't sell my home, or I can't, you know, box up my possessions, or I just don't think I could do this, because what happens if I run out of money? What happens if I get sick? What happens? Because there's, you know, so much fear involved in making such a radical life change. So maybe you all can say something that would reassure people, some advice maybe for somebody who's thinking about this but just kind of scared to tackle this.
Well, there are certainly days when we wake up and go, what the hell are we doing?
But, I don't think that's the assurance she was looking for.
No. But to your question, I think we manage our money fairly well, and it's a constant struggle. I mean, you have to keep your eye on your money, certainly, and it helps to save up. And there are certainly ways to do it that are cheaper than others. I mean, Chris just mentioned house sitting, which is essentially, you know, free rent for a few months in an interesting place. And I think what we have gotten past is both of our children are grown and they don't need our support anymore. And all we have to worry about is ourselves, and we can live on the cheap. I mean, you know, there are many days when we go to the market and buy a loaf of bread and a chunk of cheese and a bottle of wine, and that's two out of three meals sometimes.
Yeah.
The other thing that I recommend is that because we had experience traveling when we were younger and we'd thought about this for a long time, we were able to sell a house and just go. You don't have to do it that way. And I really try to remind people that a lot of travelers our age who have moved into full-time travel maybe started by taking a sabbatical. And they downsized their home, kept an apartment, and they had a fallback place. You know, it's perfectly good to do that. See how you like being on the road and test it out. And a lot of people we know have just found that they're happier on the road. They've used their place less and less and ultimately have sold it. We do keep some stuff in storage. You know, it's like our security blanket. We can always go back and you know, we have that rug that we like or whatever in storage. And we're also
very rug.
Yeah, exactly. And our books, you know, books and boxes, and that's about it. And we're very lucky, too, that we have family that we can mooch off of. You know, our kids are providing some stability for us in a way. So we do, even though we don't have a house, we do have a couple of homes.
You have home base when you're...
Yeah.
But I think, too, that as people are afraid of this, you know, you don't have to plunge into it head first all the way right away. We know lots of travelers who are our age who may actually only travel a month a year or maybe two, but they arrange their lives so that they can still maintain their house and the things that they love and their close family connections, and yet they can get away for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a good starting point.
Okay. All right. Well, quickly, before we run out of time, I want each of you to tell me the one thing that you will, no matter where you're traveling to, you won't leave home without. Tom, I'm assuming that would be your camera, but.
Well, yeah, probably that or my.
And Kristen,
iPhone.
What about you? your iPhone, okay.
Well, yeah, iPhones and computers. You know, I need Wi-Fi, and I always have a flashlight and a bottle opener, wine opener. I have to have a corkscrew. That's why I.
Listen, I have been places where you would kill someone for a bottle opener. Yes.
My friend and I were very popular hiking through Patagonia because we carried wine with us. And a bottle. That's it.
Oh, God. Okay, gotcha. Well, Sally, that's all the time. Go ahead, Tom. What?
If I can just say one other thing. When
okay.
People are thinking about doing something, think of it as doing something that you otherwise wouldn't do. And that can have more value than just constant traveling as well. I mean, I think of some of the crazy things that we've done. We climbed a mountain that we had no business climbing, probably due to our lack of any technical skill. We did that in Tasmania. We walked 500 miles across Spain, and the worst, stupidest thing we ever did was we walked about 120 kilometers into the jungle in Guatemala to visit a Mayan ruins site, something that I never would have done if I'd been thinking straight. And I'm just saying that, you know, do something crazy every now and then. You won't regret it.
Oh, God, this has been a great interview. I appreciate so much all the information that you all have shared with us today. I wish we could just pick your brain some more, but I think people are just going to have to keep in touch with you either on Twitter at TravelPast50. They can follow you, or they can follow you on your website, which is TravelPast50.com. Is there any other way you want them to tell them how to communicate with you?
The usual Facebook. Yeah. Also at Travel Past 50, and you can find us one way or the other.
Yeah, Travel Past 50, you can see. Okay.
Yeah.
To find hundreds of free travel reports, including a free 50-page travel report, or to sign up for my weekly newsletter, you can find me on TerrenceTalksTravel.com. So that's it for today's show, and I just want to thank Kristen and Tom for sharing all this great information and fun stories, and we'll have to have you back sometime. We thank all your listeners for tuning into this week's show. So that's all, and I'll be back soon with another episode of Terrence Talks Travel Uber Adventures. So stay tuned.
Thank you, Terrence.